Oh, hi. Primal Scream and Rocks. Hello and welcome to Live and Local with Bebe Lynch, Dame Bebe Lynch. Got to be honest with you, you're lucky I'm here. Enders is back. EastEnders is back. My Duff Duff has never been happier. We have a brilliant show lined up for you tonight. We have music, we have guests, we have probably award-winning radio till 10 p.m. Should we do it? Justin Timberlake and Rock Your Body. He makes me blush a little. Hey, how are you? What's your news? Tell me everything. Seriously, we never speak anymore. Let me tell you about tonight's show. We've got a fantastic show. Jessica Everett and Rosie Baggs will be here to tell us about Sober Powers, which is an online and physical community and podcast to support those who are sober and sober curious. My beautiful, gorgeous, fabulous niece, Ellie Ashley Lynch, will be suffering Bebe's personal playlist. Naughty auntie. I'm going to tell you what they call me later, what my nieces and nephews call me. And in a few minutes, fabulous music journalist and broadcaster and Brighton resident, Caroline Sullivan, will join us to tell us about her lockdown and the Bay City Rollers. Yeah, one for the kids. It's going to be a great show, so please stay with us. The Bay City Rollers and Bye Bye Baby. Well, you're a roller, but you're a Bay City Roller fan. I love them so much. I love Les so much. And Les had an incident, right? We won't talk about it because it's not nice, but he had an incident and he was in the papers. And it was on, I think it was my uncle's wedding day. And I got really upset and didn't want to go to the wedding because of Les being in trouble. And my dad was going to, I don't know if he was going to go and track down Les, but it didn't seem well for Les. Were you a Bay City Roller fan? Were you a Donny? No, were you Donny? When was Donny? Was Donny before the Osmonds? Donny was before the Osmonds. When was David Cassidy? David Cassidy was before Donny, who was before the Osmonds. I loved them so much. I loved Les. I loved Woody. But more than that, I love our first guest, Caroline Sullivan, who's music journalist, author, broadcaster and Brighton resident. And she had a thing about the Rollers too. Good afternoon, good evening.
Hello.
How are you?
Hello, I'm fine. And did you know that Ian Mitchell from the Rollers actually died the other day?
What?
Yeah, I'm afraid so. The little Irish one who was only in the group for 6 months.
Oh.
But I'm being very tangential here, aren't I?
Caroline, you've started the interview telling me
sorry.
That someone I love with all my...
Have I given you pain?
It's for all the pain. Oh. I'm full of pain. I'm always full of pain. do you know what I love about you? So I had the pleasure of meeting Caroline the other day for the first time, but I've known your work for ages because you are such a brilliant music journalist and such a brilliant writer. And when I saw Caroline at this gathering, our friend Jules' birthday, I was like, oh, I've got your book. Your book is so great. I'm so stunned that a rock critic loved the Bay City Rollers.
Well, you have to start somewhere. And with me, it was them. And show me a teenage girl or a teenage boy, for that matter, who doesn't have a crush on a boy band.
Yeah.
So, and that kind of led the way very circuitously to my current eminence.
Well, that's what I love, actually, about your book. So the book's called Bye Bye Baby, and it's by Caroline, and it's fabulous. And it really, I love how it, you know, that straight from the beginning, you just have this kind of love of music, don't you? So it's, and then you're kind of crossing the genres, but it shows how you started going into music journalism as well. And your first interview was Mark Bolan?
Yes, it was, amazingly, although that was completely by accident. I was actually at his publicist's office in London, but I was trying to get information on Slick, who were another Scottish boy band.
Me too.
Yes, very much so. And the PR, amazingly, I was pretending to be a journalist, which obviously I wasn't because I was only about 17. And the journalist and the PR said, well, as it happens, Mark Bolan is here. Would you like to talk to him for your American newspaper? And I said, oh, well, all right then. And I know. So, the bopping elf and I, or was it the bopping imp? What was his... What's his 70s nickname?
Let's show some respect. Else. But you weren't, you didn't really love him in the interview.
I did. Well, I wasn't really a fan of his. I loved Get It On and the singles, but he wasn't. You know, he wasn't the patch on the rollers, was he?
It's so, do you know what? Because in the book, it's so funny. You're just saying, you know, I've gone from like Led Zeppelin and, you know, whoever, Frampton to like the Rollers and, you know, then, you know, maybe not that musically, but actually just playing the song now. It's a good song.
Which one?
Bye Bye Baby.
Oh, yeah. It's brilliant, isn't
yeah.
it?
And yeah.
It's actually a cover version of a Four Seasons song. But yes, it's fantastic. And, you know, in retrospect, when you hear it now, you just think, what a banger.
What really made me laugh about you, and I only discovered the why you asked me this question when we met. So when we met, Caroline, do you mind if I tell my story? Because
no,
it is quite special.
Caroline's
book is Bye Bye Baby. And when I was 21, Les McEwen of the Bay City Rollers rang me up. That's right. Rang me up and sang Bye Bye BB down the phone at me. Like, I mean, pretty much my life highlight. And I told Caroline this, and Caroline, the first thing you said was, are you sure it was him? Why did you instantly believe it was him? And I was like, what a cynical thing to say. And then when I read your book, you and your poor friend David pretended to be
exactly.
a million people.
Exactly. Because the only way we could actually follow the Rollers around was to call up hotels and pretend that we were, you know, adults wanting to book a room in the same hotel. And I had a friend called David, and I got, every time we needed an adult male voice on the phone, I pressed him into action. And so when you told me about Les calling you and singing, my instant thought was, but how did she know it was him?
Terrible cynic,
sorry. So yes, my roller adventures.
So I haven't finished the book yet, so don't tell me, but tell me, did anything cheeky happen? Don't tell me.
Oh, in that case, I can't tell you. Or do you, shall I say yes or no?
Say yes or no. Say yes.
Yes.
Okay. So, lockdown. I yes. Is your book still available?
Yes, it's on Amazon.
It has to be. So people, I'm insisting people get hold of this. Honestly, it's so brilliant, and it's so evocative, and I love it. And you're just so, it's so brilliantly written. And of course, then you went into music journalism. Lockdown can't have been kind to music journalists.
Well, it hasn't been great, because most of my work in the past few years has been reviewing gigs and doing press biographies of bands. And the gigs obviously completely dried up, so no reviewing. And the artist biographies as well, because generally they're written for, you know, to send to journalists as press releases. And nobody's really doing that. Nobody's commissioning these biographies at the moment. And But on the other hand, I have got a side hustle writing advance obituaries.
That's
it sounds really morbid, but honestly, it's not. It's for musicians, eminent musicians who are very much alive. And it's just that every newspaper has a stock file of obituaries that for when the time comes. But everybody I write about, they're all completely alive and well.
It's such a weird gig.
Well, it is, and yet I find myself really enjoying it, because you actually get some time to research their lives in full, you know, which you don't get to do when you're actually writing a feature and you're really pressed for time. So I it sounds like I'm, you know, pretending just to make out that things aren't as bad as they are, but I am genuinely enjoying doing these obituaries.
Don't you wish to get a quote from them? Which I know would sit weirdly in the obit, but you know what I mean.
Well, do you know what? I'm in the middle of doing one at the moment, and I called the guys, the singers' PR, and I wanted to get a little bit of information about what the guy is doing at the moment. And the PR wrote right back and said, "Why do you need this information?" And I couldn't say, "Well, I'm writing his obituary." So I had to just completely, you know, cut off that line of contact, and I've had to look up the information somewhere else.
I really want to ask you all the names, but I think that feels even tasteless for me to find out. You know.
Yeah, I know. I tend to overshare everything, but with this, I tend to be very discreet about who I'm working on.
Now, I know as well during lockdown that you've pitched a book idea.
I have. It's I've done a couple of books before on this. It's there's a series published by Welbeck Books called The Stories Behind the Songs, and I've done a book on Ed Sheeran and a book on Adele, and I've just pitched another one, which the commissioning editor thinks is a really good idea. And I probably shouldn't say who it is, but
give me the first initial.
All right. T.
Terence Trent D'Arby.
Yes, it's Terence Trent D'Arby. That's right.
Toya.
And, very underrated, you know, Terence Trent D'Arby.
I loved him.
Yes, or what is he called now? Sata, what's his name? He's
It's easy for you to say, Caroline.
But he's changed his name. It's something Maitreya now.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, and very handsome man now, you know.
Always was. So,
indeed.
So Bye Bye Baby is definitely about your music journalism going into that as well. But have you written, have you been tempted to write a book about like just the music journalism years?
No, it's never occurred to me to do that because a couple of people have done that and they've done it so well. I mean, Sylvia Patterson, who you probably know, she's done I'm Not With the Band. And I'm pretty sure a couple of other people have done them. And I've just thought I can't match those. And, you know, and also they're pretty definitive as they are. So I don't think anybody's going to want to commission another book about music journalism by a female music journalist when there's already an extremely good one available. So
I think that's a shame. I think it would be brilliant. How do you what's your pinch me moment in your career?
Okay. It was Michael Hutchence, 1997 it was. It was before he was with Paula Yates, so it was early 90s. I went to review In Excess and interview Hutchence in Bristol. And at the end of the interview, we're getting on absolutely famously. And he said to me, and we're in his hotel room, and he said to me, you know, I mean, what are you doing now? And I said, I don't know. I guess I'm going to get some food. And he goes, why don't you stay here and we can have dinner together? And I was thinking, and I was thinking, oh dear, because I'm pretty sure I know what he will expect to follow dinner. And I thought about it for about 10 seconds, thinking, this is my journalistic integrity at stake here. And then I said to him, yeah, I'll take dinner. And we looked at the menu and decided what we're going to have. And he's got his hand on the phone about to call room service, knock at the door, the hotel door. He goes to answer it. It's his publicist. And she said, Michael, are you done with the interview? He says, yes. She said, oh, good. I've made reservations in the restaurant for all of us.
I am tracking that woman down.
Oh,
she's ruined your life and she's ruined my life because this story should not have ended that way.
I can give you her name off air and see to it that something is done, please.
How beautiful was he?
He was stunning. Yeah. And he was also just really lovely and he made it feel like he really liked women, you know? I mean, as chums as well as you know, conquest. He just seemed really kind of likable and lovely.
Oh, Caroline, this is...
I know. This is,
what's your...
My pain.
I used to have a career. You didn't know me then. And when I had a career, I used to interview people a lot. And I had a bit of... I mean, I'd often wear tight tops if it was a man I was interviewing, which I know is a terrible, terrible thing to say.
Oh.
Any awful... tricks up your sleeve? Or are you just a pro?
Well, not really. You know, not really. Well, you know, to be honest, I mean, I probably shouldn't say this on the air, but I've seen you in a tight top. And honestly, it's impressive. But honestly, I was goggling slightly at the birthday party. But anyway, goggling in a completely feminist, sisterly, you go girl fashion, obviously.
Thank you for noticing my intelligence. But do you love interviewing? Is it?
Well, I really do enjoy it because I like talking to people, as you can probably tell. And I've never done any of the feminine wiles thing because I've always felt so incredibly geeky and unattractive that I thought, well, who'd be interested?
Stop it. You write about this in the book as well. And it's, we have such bad impressions of ourselves, don't we? It's such a shame.
We do, don't we? And we also have imposter syndrome, don't we?
Yeah. Oh, seriously. I mean, it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. When we were talking as well, I love that you were saying this, that the whole lockdown thing, there have actually been some benefits. And one of them is you've had a bit of a kind of more of a zen outlook and actually feeling a little bit less competitive. Do you think you're going to carry that forward?
I hope so. But I have a feeling, I was thinking about this just before you rang, and I have a feeling that so much of it is contingent on having enough money to live on that allows me to feel zen. And, you know, obviously the self-employed grants have helped enormously. So I don't feel as if I've got to be out there chasing, you know, the stories and the pitches. But, you know, I feel very privileged in that sense. But, you know, if it comes down to it, if I really had to, I'd probably go straight back into, you know, tooth and nail.
Yeah, yeah. Are there any, I don't know. It's weird, isn't it? I do wonder, are you doing this? I used to get about 30 things done in a day. Now I'm lucky if I do 4.5. I manage to spread whatever I have to do out.
Absolutely. You've got this sort of lassitude, don't you? I mean, today I was at the computer and I was about to start working on my latest obit, and I just ended up looking at OkCupid all day. And I just couldn't tear myself away from it.
Oh, picturing the scene. You're in a negligee, some fluffy mules.
Right, which is, of course, what all of us wear in lockdown, right?
Are you excited about music still? Are there any kind of new up-and-coming acts that you're like, oh, yeah, still? Because I'd imagine, sorry to interrupt you, but I was just thinking, it must be harder, I would have thought, the more... Because the acts that haven't been kind of PR anodyne, quoted out of them, do you know what I mean? So like someone like Amy Winehouse, who still was outrageous in what she would say, and then there are some bands or some artists, I imagine, who it's just a bit dull.
So many of them are, and most of them are media trained these days.
Yeah.
But I do... There's nobody absolutely brand new who I'm really excited about. I mean, I should explain that I do listen to new music constantly because I'm getting constant streams sent to me. Yeah. And I listen to every single one of them. And only a couple of people really caught my fancy. I mean, I really love the new Yellow Days. He's not brand new, but he is newish. He's an American singer called Yellow Days, and I really, really love his new music. But generally... the newest I'm interested in is Billie Eilish, and she's been everywhere, hasn't she? But I do absolutely love her. I love all the female, kind of young women who are, you know, stepping up now, like Mabel and Celeste and Georgia Smith and just plain Georgia. There's one called Georgia and there's a Georgia Smith. So I'm really into female voices, and I always have been.
Oh, I love your book so much. Your work is so amazing. I'm so thrilled to have met you.
Oh, thank you, Bibi, and likewise.
And but stop staring at my... No, I'm joking. stop staring.
I've got no ulterior motive.
Is there... So don't tell me who the obit is, right, what you're writing now, but when you write the obits, do you play their music? Do you kind of write to their music?
Yes. Yes, I do.
That's so weird, isn't it?
And wait, I will tell you one very quick trade secret.
Yeah.
The only time we ever do advance ones of people under the age of 70 is when people have, you know, younger musicians have like very kind of dodgy lifestyles or, you know,
right.
So they're the only young ones who ever get obits are, advance obits, that is, are the ones who are, you know, you just expect to find them in a gutter one day. But everybody else is over 70, so they've had fantastic lives.
Right. Well, you must tell their PRs that when you ring next time for a cheeky little quote. Just for an obit, don't mind me. For updates on everything, Caroline, follow her on Twitter at @TheCSullivan. And I hope I see you really soon.
Yes, likewise. And have a fantastic rest of the show.
Thank
you. And I will be listening when I'm off the phone.
Take care. Bye.
Thank you, darling. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
I love Caroline. You've got to read Bye Bye Baby. It's such a brilliant book. She's such a brilliant writer. Let's have a little look at the weather this afternoon. It's gone. This afternoon's gone. Cloud was pushing in from the northwest, but we don't care, it's gone. This evening and tonight, remaining largely cloudy overnight with occasional clear spells and a moderate westerly wind, but it will remain largely dry, feeling quite mild. Minimum temperature 12 degrees Celsius, that's 54 degrees Fahrenheit. And tomorrow, it's going to be a dry and partly cloudy day with generally light winds. Through the afternoon, cloud will become increasingly broken and allow more in the way of sunny spells to develop, and it will be feeling warm again. Maximum temperature 20 degrees Celsius, that's 68 degrees Fahrenheit.
Phoebe Lynch, BBC Radio Sussex.
Red Hot Chili Peppers and the Zephyr song. What's a Zephyr? Ollie, what's a Zephyr? He doesn't know. Our next guests are here. Welcome to Live and Local, Jessica Everett and Rosie Baggs from Sober Powers. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Yeah, really good. Thanks for having us.
Oh, you're very welcome. I'm going to ask you separate questions. How about that? How do you like them scary apples?
We only do things together.
Say that again.
We only do things together. We don't know how.
Do you know what a zephyr is?
No, I do not know what a zephyr is.
It's a soft, gentle breeze, according to producer Ollie.
Beautiful.
Although I can't check, so I have no idea what he's talking about. Sober Powers. So, Jessica, tell me what Sober Powers is.
So, Sober Powers started off as an idea. So, it's a podcast that we've been creating together. Rosie came to me with the idea. And from there, it's kind of really taken off. And now it's starting to build. We're building up an online community. And it's for people who are interested in sobriety, but you don't have to be sober. So if you're sober curious or interested, and yeah, it's just, we're just starting to build it all, and it's happening pretty fast, but it's all very exciting. And our podcast launches on Saturday the 19th.
Does it?
It does indeed. So we will be alternating. We've got like different guests on, and we'll be talking about different topics, and yeah, it's all going.
Have you recorded it yet?
We are recording. So we're doing weekly recordings at the moment, and we've been trying to get as much done, working very hard between the two of us. But yes, there are many, many recordings at the moment.
Who's working the hardest?
Oh. We know, we've both been working really hard. Obviously, we've been trying, you know, over lockdown and stuff like that, and going back to work, we've had to sort of schedule it in between our busy lives. But we're doing it. We're definitely doing it.
Rosie, what's the aim of Sober Powers then?
Is, I think, with a lot of groups and a lot of support out there for alcoholism, alcohol can be really demonised. But a lot of our friends still drink, and Jess and I had some great times with alcohol and being intoxicated. So we don't want to demonise alcohol, but we do want to normalise sobriety. We want to make it more accessible.
Right. So you think there's a stigma against it?
Definitely. I think I've always been a big drinker, and I can't blame anybody else for my intake. However, It was partly peer pressure. I definitely drank on certain nights because I felt that was needed.
Can I ask both of you, and if it's too personal, just say, BB, it's too personal. But Jessica first, was there, what made you want to create Sober Powers between you? So was there something that happened, or what was going on with you?
Well, I think it was really by accident, really. You know, I've been wanting to get sober for the last few years. I think since I sort of got into my mid-20s, I've had a couple of bouts of sobriety, but sort of ended up drinking again. But really, it's just been an amalgamation over the years of just caning it, going out partying, not really achieving a lot, if I'm being honest. So when I got sober this year, it was completely by accident. I bumped into Rosie, and she was also came out and said, you know, oh, I've stopped drinking as well. And we realised, we were like, we're still party girls. We still want to go out and have fun. But yeah, we've had a lot of, you know, stuff happen over the years that has led us into sobriety. But we just realised it's sort of, there's an area that we are missing, you know, people who do want to go out and still have fun and still party, but who just don't or can't involve alcohol in their lives anymore. So from that, it's all just kind of happened really quickly and organically.
And Rosie, was there an incident that made you want to do this, or just a general kind of shift in attitude?
I mean, definitely a positive shift in attitude. But again, I was like Jess, I definitely like a party. We're both known for being girls about town. I have had a lot of mental health battles over the years, and alcohol is a depressant.
Yeah.
It wasn't during my depressive phases that I wanted a drink, but I've got bipolar.
Right.
And in my high episodes, which last a few months at a time, alcohol was just heightened that even more so. And my behaviour became even more reckless than it would have been without alcohol. Or the other way around, you know, the really reckless behaviour when you are drinking. So there was that side of it. I lost a few people over the last few years. And that also would have been an influence on my drinking. And I used drinking as a distraction, as a coping mechanism. And I remember receiving a book from somebody who's passed. And it was called Recovery. So at the time, they would have thought I had a drinking problem where I probably wasn't recognising it.
Wow.
I have only managed to read a few pages of said book.
Yeah. No, I get that.
And I've still got it. Yeah. But the message from them was enough for me to eventually listen, even though they'd already passed. And become sober.
Isn't that an extraordinary thing? That they recognise something?
Yeah, they were very close to me.
You're in the kind of info you sent out to me, you said like your last big night out, I guess for both of you, was New Year's Eve 2019. So you're pretty new to this. Do you think I don't mean this in an insulting or patronising way, but you know when you're quite kind of newly into something and you're zealots, and then it's like, will you still be into it?
So I think something that we've always mentioned throughout the podcast and even in our community and stuff is that we're sober babies. So exactly what you've said, that's literally one of our lines, is like, sober babies together. You know, we're newbies. So we're still trying to navigate it as much as anyone else. And I think that comes across massively, that we're not, you know, shouting and raving like, oh, this is how we've done it and this is our life. It's like, no, we're still trying to figure it out just as much as the next person. But we're just essentially sharing what we're doing and how we're doing it. And I think having each other and having that support is incredibly vital in this. And I think that's why we've enjoyed, you know, starting this project together, essentially.
So when you said earlier that there's almost a stigma to not drinking, how does that manifest? So do you feel like pressured if you're out, if you just say, oh, I just like a soda water, please? Someone's like, no, you know, what, are you pregnant? Or, you know, there's you can't just have that.
Well, I think it comes across it. Oh, sorry, Jess.
No, sorry. I was just going to say, I mean, one of the main things I think I've definitely noticed over the years is people call you boring. They're like, oh, that's so boring. Like, oh, you're not going to drink. Like, oh, really? Like, you know, so it's, I think, yeah, there's a massive amount of stigma. And Jed, if you want to say, Rosie, what you've noticed.
Just on different levels. I think Jess and I have both grown up around Brighton. And there's a massive drinking culture in Brighton. I grew up going to gigs, and I think Jess did too. So if you go to a gig, you have a beer. If you go down the pub after work, you have a beer. When somebody asks me what to do in Brighton, I can reel them off about 100 pubs. I can't manage to tell them much more beyond that when I was drinking. And when you're with your friends, it's easier just to have a shot or have a drink with them than it is to argue why you're not drinking. And I fell into that trap day after day after day.
Yeah, yeah. You're trying to make not drinking sexy.
I think, we'll give it a go.
Yeah, definitely.
If anyone's going to do it, Jess is going to do it.
it's both of you.
Thank you.
Has lockdown been a special challenge then with not drinking, or have you kind of found it a pleasant surprise that you haven't been tempted? Or do you still feel tempted?
So I think both of us, we've talked about this on the podcast, we both had really different experiences with lockdown. I won't speak on behalf of Rosie, but I know for myself, I found it really difficult. I think for me, I'd given up drinking this year and I really struggled in the beginning. But I kept myself very busy and very distracted with other things. So going into lockdown and having all this free time and not having much to do, that was a huge struggle. And the urge to drink was massively there. You know, you see on people's Instagrams and their stories, like, you know, champagne o'clock or like Prosecco o'clock at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And you think, oh, I want one. Why? You know what I mean? You know, the urge is definitely still there. And, you know, I think something else we talk about is there are good days and bad days. There are days when you think, oh, I feel great for not drinking and your skin looks great and, you know, you feel amazing. And there are some days where you're like, oh, yeah, I do want to drink. And we sort of go through the ups and downs with that, which I think, you know, we both have at time to time.
Sorry.
I was going to say, as Jess said, our experiences are really different. I found it a lot more difficult. I went into lockdown in a depressive period. Mm. And then when I came out of that depressive period and I was bang in the middle of lockdown, it wasn't so bad. But then when the pubs reopened, that's when the battle really began for me.
Mm. Do you find that you've replaced drink with anything else?
Lots of things. I've got
lots of things,
hobbies I never thought I always wanted, but never but sort of manifested. Friendships that have grown and developed that just wouldn't have been able to before.
I love that, because I thought you were going to say something like Maltesers, because that's where I would have come with. I love that. So you're actually like, good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, I've eaten out a lot more. I'm definitely still spending just as much money on other things, though.
But you do. You find, like, I mean, the amount of nice dinners I've been out for and things like that, instead of like, oh, I can't afford to do that. I think money is a massive thing. So you find when, especially for me, when I gave up drinking, I was like, oh, I can buy nice things and I can do nice things, instead of like scraping my rent together at the end of the month and counting all the red wine bottles in my bin. It was it gives you more freedom to do other things, definitely.
I think it's so great. What kind of people, or who are you interviewing on the podcast?
Oh, we've had everyone's been totally different. Go on, Jess.
Well, I would say, so we're still, obviously we've got so many different people to interview. We've both interviewed personal friends from each of us who can kind of describe us and sort of go through our drinking and stuff like that. But we've had, I mean, my boss, who's amazing. We've had another woman I know. Who is my boss?
Who's talking now? Is it Jess or Rosie?
It's Jess.
Hello, Jess. Is it lovely? Am I allowed to say?
Yeah.
Hello, Calandra team.
Hi, guys. So he's been sober for 12 years. So he's like at the top of the sober chain. So he was amazing to get on. We also had one of my friends who has started her own business up, and she's gone down a very like holistic route and a very spiritual route. And we've still got tons more people to interview, but some of them are sober, some of them aren't, some of them are sober curious, but it's the general theme is kind of revolving around alcohol. But sort of getting different types of people from different walks of life, really. So it, you know, people have more of a comparison and can empathize with it more. It's not just all sober people who are all just going and talking about the same types of things.
I'm curious about sober curious. Who's sober curious?
So anybody that sort of does drink but wants to live a more sober lifestyle. So they might, you know, they might go out every night, or they might drink on Friday, Saturday, Sundays, but they might find themselves wanting to spend more time without alcohol. And I think that would make them sober curious.
And how, so that's the podcast, but it's an online and a physical movement too, community too. How's that manifesting?
I'll let you take this one, Rosie.
how's the community manifesting?
Yeah, so how will you have meetings, or?
So when, you know, when things are more relaxed, let's say, in the event world, we would love to have physical events and physical meetings. And I think Jess and I have briefly spoken about this, but I can imagine the meetings will be either weekly or monthly, and they'll be local to Brighton at this time. And we've got a physical launch on the night, Saturday, the 19th of September, which is the launch date of our actual podcast as well. And that will be for people who are interested in the community and engaging and in being empowered, gathering support or inspiration from other people's experiences. The community at the moment is mainly based on Facebook. So you can find it at /groups/soberpowers. And you'll be able to see other people's experiences, where they're at and their stages of sobriety. Or it might be that there's a new sober venue. So a certain beer brand has launched a sober venue in London, and it'll be the first sober venue. And that's something that's quite incredible. Or it might be that someone's doing a sober artist project that people can access and gain from, if they've got that interest.
Have you found, or have you found people have changed towards you?
So,
go on, Jess.
Oh. So I think in terms, I think a lot of people at first, so it's kind of changed as time's gone on. So I think when I said last year, like, oh, I wanted to get sober, people were like, okay, cool, whatever. Like, kind of, not necessarily everyone laughed it off, but there was kind of an undercurrent of a bit of a joke there. But I think people's attitudes, I think, once they realised how serious, I know I was, and Rosie is as well, it's, you know, people do look at you differently, because I think we were such, I mean, we were all over the place, the little party animals just dancing our way around Brighton pretty much most weekends. And I think people sort of just, you get, I guess, more respect, more trust. People can rely on you more. They know that if you say you're going to do something, you're going to turn up and do it and not be hungover and have red wine still on your lips. You know, it's kind of, you get, yeah, I'd say people have been really, really, really supportive in my life, I can say, which has been amazing. Like, my friends and family, everyone who I work with is just, yeah, I've had phenomenal support. So I feel incredibly privileged.
Rosie, do you feel the same way?
Yeah, it's really interesting. I've kept my very close friends, I've still managed to keep a relationship with, and if anything, the relationship is better. One of them said only on Friday night that they didn't believe me when I said it, and they just thought, you know, at the beginning of the year, they just thought, oh, that'll last a few days. But no, here we are today, and I think I've still got a way to go to earn trust back from some family and friends, but I'm giving it a good go. And there are definitely people who think that we're more responsible, you know, trustworthy and reliable, like Jess said.
I thought it was a key word that you used earlier, and I was thinking, yeah, I recognise that. I think, and I imagine, and a lot of people, but I think, I guess, especially women, reckless.
Because
you can do some stuff that you don't really want to do when you're drunk.
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely had some partners that I wouldn't repeat. I've definitely, done a lot of things I wouldn't repeat. But then it's been a learning curve, and I've got some great memories.
That's it. I think there's a lot of things where you think, oh, do you know what, like, we had so much fun. You know, we can't demonise, like Rosie said, drinking on the whole. You know, there have been some things I would never take back. And, you know, I've been to festivals and had amazing experiences with friends. But yeah, there's been the odd weekend when I've woken up in the wrong bed and thought, oh, I probably shouldn't have had that much drink last night.
And what what do you think not drinking has brought to you both right now, Rosie?
So much. I would say my life looks completely different than it did sort of this time last year. So I'm in a job that I love, and I've just been given more responsibility today.
Oh, well done.
Thank you. I'm looking to study. I start a counselling course on the 21st of this month. My friendships and my relationships with some family members are a lot better, and I would like to think that they think so too. And I'm way more productive. I don't wake up on a Saturday and Sunday with a hangover and just manage to crawl out of bed to go back out in the evening.
Rosie, that's amazing. That's just in less than a year.
Yeah. And it's amazing to see in myself, to be honest, because for the first few months of sobriety, I didn't see any change. And that was quite aggravating because it was hard to keep myself motivated to stay sober when I couldn't see any change. Mm. But now I'm 8 months in, I can see change, and I hope to keep seeing change. And it means that I can see myself starting to reach my potential because I wasn't for the last few years.
And Jessica, how's stuff changed for you?
So, yeah, very, very dramatically, I would say. I think the first part of getting sober, I really struggled with. But from about 3 months onwards and sort of getting through lockdown especially, there's so many things. I mean, my mental health massively has improved. I'm so much more stable and self-aware, and I have so much more control over it. You know, I wake up most days feeling pretty great. I've lost 2 stones since Christmas.
Stop right there, lady.
I know. Like, my skin's better. My hair's better. I'm going back to college to study psychology. You know, all of my friendships are closer, and, you know, I've very, very lucky. I met someone this year who's amazing, really supportive partner, and I've not had that really, in a long time, really. Someone who is supportive, who I can rely on, who's not a drinker, doesn't want to go out all the time, you know, because all of my exes have kind of been party animals as well. So
yeah, I've really, it's like walking into a new life.
You
really.
Too. This is just incredible. Oh, this is such a great project. Can you tell me how people can find out more about you then? So give us the Facebook page again.
So the Facebook page and the Insta are both at Sober Powers. And then the Facebook group is /group/SoberPowers.
And the launch is on.
Community is.
And the launch is on Saturday, 19th September.
It is indeed.
All right. Thank you so much. It was so fascinating. Thank you for joining me tonight and good luck with it all.
Thank you so much for having us.
A pleasure. And I will see you soon. Take care.
Bye.
Thank you.
Artful Dodger featuring Romina Johnson. What a lovely name. And Moving Too Fast. They didn't put a G on moving. Apparently that was... Why would you take the G out? I don't know. I don't understand. Hey, welcome to the second hour of Live and Local with BB Lynch. Thank you for joining us tonight. And please get in touch. Text me on 81333. Start your message with the word radio. Or you can call.
Call 0800 587 1046.
BBC Radio Surrey.
So, here's the thing. Now, you know I love my show, and you know I say this every week, but I will continue to say it while it's still the truth, and it is the truth right now. I love my show, but this is my favourite bit of the show, and I know it's like saying you have a favourite child, and I know none of you have a favourite child. You all have a favourite child. Producer Ollie has a favourite biscuit. My favourite bit of the show... is Bebe's personal playlist. Terrible, terrible title, but I love it because I get to speak to someone I love. And the idea, and I know you know it, but I'll remind you, is that we thought during lockdown people were, you know, listening to more music, taking more comfort from music, getting sucker, if you will. that's not funny. And making playlists or, you know, mixtapes or, you know, anything, just getting some music together. And because we used to do that when we were young and firm. And I want to start a movement where you do that. And so you think there's a loved one in your life, someone you adore, and you think of three tracks that remind you of them. And I'm doing it too. And I have people on my show, loved ones, friends, family, who I think of three songs for, and I play them and I gift them the gift of music on air. And tonight's victim of Phoebe's personal playlist, she's one of my favourite people on earth. And I know I'm her favourite. I'm definitely her favourite auntie. Is Eleanor Ashley Lynch there, please?
Hello.
Hello.
Favourite auntie.
Am I your favourite auntie?
You are my favourite auntie. It doesn't need to be said.
Well, it does need to be said, Ellie, and it's needed to be recorded.
And
now,
there, yeah.
And now it's there and they're all going to know it. How are you, lovely?
I'm okay. How are you?
Oh, I'm okay. What have you been up to?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Oh, are you bored?
Yeah, already bored. No, I mean, bored generally in the lockdown world.
So Elle's just finished your degree, didn't you?
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago.
You're such a clever girl. And then Ellie took me out. What's your degree in, please? It's physics, isn't it?
Graphic design.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I follow your career. Ellie took me out and got me drunk, didn't you, last week?
I did. I made you have several decaf espresso martinis.
Elsa, I don't think they were decaf.
I don't think they were.
So I don't have children. I don't know why I'm telling you, Ellie, because you know I don't have kids. And in my head, you're mine. And then when you were on the train, I was like, oh no, I've left drunk Ellie on the train. I felt really bad.
I was all right. And on my way back, I started thinking, do I want to buy another couple of cans?
You did
and
not.
I thought, oh, no, just go
Ellie,
home.
This is so
go
bad. So have you tried those dresses on?
I haven't tried them on yet.
Are you excited?
No. I am excited. I'm scared. Because, you know, when you kind of have to mentally prepare yourself
for the
sight of just wearing a dress when you've been in, like, jumpers and...
Are you talking white legs?
Clothes. Yes. Yeah.
Put some American tan tights on. Put some pop socks on. Your mum will have some. Your mum loves a pop sock. Put some pop socks on and just see. You'll look gorgeous in it. So, you know, I'm playing three songs that remind me of you.
Yeah, I'm nervous.
You remember Agadoo, don't you?
I remember what, sorry?
Oh, no, I forget you're so young. How old are you?
I'm 23 in a couple of weeks.
Oh, subtle.
How's
23? So, Nidhi's 23. How is that? What's it like being 22 and Nidhi's 23? Is it fun?
I don't know. It kind of is what it is.
You know, you sound just like your dad, my brother John.
I know. The more I talk, the more I realise I am girl version of dad.
Your John is so cute. So when we all met the other day, my brother Dan was there, my sister Yaz, my nephew Arthur, and Els. And I don't think you saw it, Els. Arthur did, you know, the face app thing. And he did a teenage...
No, yeah, he couldn't show me.
And he did a teenage me, and it was you. It looked like you.
Right.
Then he did Made Me Into a Man, and I looked like Dan.
Oh,
it was really terrifying, but at least I didn't, you know, but I looked like one of my brothers, basically. And then he did the old me, and I looked exactly the same. And I'm not sure if I'm offended or if that's the best news ever. I don't know. So my first track for you, yeah. I don't know if you're not going to remember any of these, because these are my memories of you being a little girl. So what song do you think I might play that... Ellie's got a beautiful sister, Lois. What song do you think that I would play that you and Lo used to sing?
Oh, no. That's a really bad question. Because
why?
Well, the only one I think can think of is... I don't know if we sung it in front of Anastasia.
No, you never sang that.
No, Left Outside Alone. Which is not a good childhood song, is it? I've just outed Mum and Dad.
just left outside alone. That's hilarious.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, no, come on. You've got two more guesses.
No, I don't. S Club 7.
Oh, Ellie. You have one more guess.
I don't know.
You have one more guess, and then I'm going to make you tell everyone what you call me.
I was already going to say that, but I didn't know if that was allowed.
Well, I'm sure it's allowed.
Okay. I really don't know.
Outcast.
Oh, wait,
Shake,
which one?
Heya.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm playing it and I'm going to pretend that this conversation hasn't happened.
Okay, yeah, sorry. I was traumatised when I left outside alone.
I'm playing a track. Please be quiet now, Ellie. Bye. Outcast and Heya. So, Ellie.
Yes.
we're not allowed to say my name. We're not allowed to say what we call me. You're very good to think that, because I would have gone straight in.
straight in for the kill.
Straight in. And producer Ollie said, well, I'm not sure we can say that, so we're not saying it, but it's hilarious, isn't it? So my nieces and nephews bully me in a way, don't you?
Sometimes, when we feel like it.
Why do you do that?
I don't know. It's part of being the favourite aunt, you know?
Is it?
Yeah,
do you enjoy
it? Take it.
Well, I am. Do you remember when you used to kind of stand next to me in photos and be taller than me?
What you used to?
How tall are you?
5'7".
Are you?
Yeah.
Wow.
But Mum and Dad aren't neither of those two at all. They're particularly tall.
They're above average.
Yeah, Lois is tall, though.
How tall's Lo?
Lois is my height, if not taller.
Is this riveting radio, do you think?
I think it's really, really interesting.
I think it's really interesting. I'm nearly...
5'7", 5'7".
I'm nearly 5'1".
That's impressive.
Thank you. So, Els, most of what I'm going to say today is just how much I love you. Oh, when did we first meet? Do you remember?
Sorry?
Do you remember how we met?
No, I can't remember. Where was it again?
Do you know what I used to love? Oh, I mean, I love everything about you. And Lois, of course, all my nieces and nephews. I love you all. I love you all equally. But when you were a baby, you used to... We always used to sleep in the same bed. Do you remember that? I always used to cuddle you. And you used to be this little hot little thing. And you would always put your hand around and kind of pull on my ear.
Cold ears.
What's the ear
I'm
thing?
Really coming out with the interesting stuff.
Oh, I love it. What's your favourite thing about me?
My favourite thing about you?
Yeah.
That you're 5'1". Nearly. Are you?
Wait, what did you say?
I'm almost 5 foot one.
You're almost 5 foot one. Yeah, so that's my favourite.
Yeah, so the second track. this is a track that you and your sister Lois introduced me to, and I was like, I absolutely adore this. Do you remember what it was?
Ooh.
Bearing in mind, I love my music and I just hadn't heard of her.
Is it Leanne Lhava?
Oh, you are something else. Lost and Found, baby.
Yeah.
Good girl.
Brilliant.
Leanne Lhava and Lost and Found. Oh, Ellie, that is so beautiful, isn't it?
That song, honestly, the mood changed then.
Yeah.
But it is such a beautiful song.
Have you seen the video?
She's
got her hair up, sure, and she just kind of shakes it down and she just looks incredible.
Yeah, she's brilliant.
Who are you into at the moment?
God, that's so bad. I can't think off the top of my head. I like her new stuff as well.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, she's got a lot of... she's got a new album, well, last year? This year? But she did a lockdown performance, didn't she?
Did she? I didn't know that. Is there a connection with her and Prince? Why have I got that in my head?
I don't know. I'm not sure. But I think you might be right, actually.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I think there's something. What were you doing? So I remember your dad, my brother, John, posting... did he just send it to me? I can't remember. But a really great photo of you on stage with his band.
Yeah.
What was that?
That was my 20th birthday.
Oh.
And they were playing at Liverpool Psych Fest, and Dad said, "Do I want to play with them?" and it was the most surreal thing, getting up on stage, and then sort of that was an hour or two before my 20th birthday, and then just being like, "Yeah."
Was this the Telescopes?
Yes, it was the Telescopes.
Were you nervous?
I was terrified, terrified. But I just did that sort of thing of trying to look really hardcore, of looking down and sort of swaying my hair over my head.
And what did you play?
Guitar with a spoon. With a spoon, yeah.
So your parents make you stand outside and they won't give you guitar strings. They won't give you a little... What are those things called?
They just thought, do you know what? Let's embarrass her.
Oh, but
spoon.
But did it make you want to do it? So did you have a standing ovation? Come on.
Someone did actually come up to me later on in the evening.
Yeah.
And said, oh, God, it was brilliant. Because it's a band of sort of 30 to 40-year-old guys. And then I was there just like, do-do-do-do-do. but he said it was cool to see that.
You're so brilliant. You're so clever. Do you make so again, your dad, I remember your dad doing this for me, making me little kind of mixtapes of tracks and stuff. Do you do that? Yeah, of course he did. Do you do that?
I've done it for a few people, and I feel bad now because I feel like you're owed one now. No pressure.
Total pressure, lady.
Yeah.
Who have you done them for then? Who are they?
Just friends. I've done them for friends' birthdays and stuff. I did one for, well, I did two for my friend's 18th. So I did her a miserable one and then a happy.
It's a cute idea, isn't it?
It is. It's really nice. And I like doing the covers. I make little CDs and then draw covers and stuff for them.
Dear, it's because you're super talented. What tracks would you put on for me then if you did my one?
Oh, do you know which one I would do? Hathaway one.
Oh.
The one that you showed me, because I show everyone that.
Do you? Oh,
yeah,
Els,
and
I love...
really smug doing it. I'm like, look at this.
The Snarky Poppy. Snarky Poppy featuring Layla Hathaway, and she sings a chord. And when she... Oh, Ellie. Yeah. Do you know what? This is another thing, right? This is another soppy thing. But again, I don't have kids. And I imagine that having children, one of the really lovely things is that the kind of children kind of learn stuff from you. Do you know what I mean? And I remember you saying something to me once, and it really made me so proud, is that I told you to, when you put mascara on, to wiggle. That's all I've taught you, sweetheart. But now it's Layla Hathaway as well.
Puppy, yeah.
What's incredible about that as well, and I urge people to look for that. Snarky Puppy, just extraordinarily brilliant. Yeah. And they're just like, it's collective. And they're kind of New York based, aren't they, Alison? And it's just all these like musicians that are top of their game, and they get these incredible vocalists on. And the Layla Hathaway one, when she sounds a lot like her dad, Donny Hathaway, who I think is my favourite artist ever. When she sings that chord, these are these incredible, like, accomplished musicians suddenly turn into fans, don't they? And they look at her.
In awe. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, do you know what's so weird? Snarky Puppy was going to be on my list to play for you.
Oh.
Yeah. And we couldn't find it at the BBC. So, but I would love you to do me a mixtape with a bit of Snarky. So when am I going to see you again?
Well, I am jobless.
Yes. Same here.
Yeah, whenever.
All the time in the world. What do you think are you just going to have like some time out now to, has lockdown been okay? Don't want to put any words into your mouth. Horrible, difficult, tricky.
It's been all right. I mean, I've been trying to do my degree from my bedroom. So that's been.
Yeah, frustrating.
Tough. But it's been all right. You know, the best of a bad situation.
I guess.
Definitely appreciative to be able to be home.
So maybe now, indoors, do they let you inside now?
Inside? What? What?
You know, your parents were keeping you outside. What was that song called?
Oh, yeah. Now I get, hour slots of being allowed in.
That's so good to you. So now, now you've...
Outside alone, yeah.
That's so bad. Now the degree's done, I guess just take some time and just relax and just have lovely thoughts and try the dresses on. Let me know if they look gorgeous on you and do a little mixtape. Come down to Hove, please. I love it when you're here. And we'll do fun things. My favourite track for you, I mentioned Prince earlier, and this is for you. And it's The Most Beautiful Girl in the World.
Oh, thank you.
I love you, darling. I'll see you soon.
Love you too.
Bye.
Bye.
Let's take a look at the weather. High pressure will remain in charge for much of the outlook period, leading to largely dry and settled conditions. Wednesday will be warm and mainly dry, but with a chance of the odd shower later. Thursday will see similar conditions, again dry with sunshine, but a touch cooler. And Friday will start on a dry and sunny note, but patchy cloud will build in during the day.
Phoebe Lynch. BBC Radio Surrey.
Oasis and Don't Look Back in Anger. Are they talking? What's the situation right now with those brothers? I feel like making a phone call. So you know what time it is. It's upload time. Tess Townsend is a writer based in Surrey, and she and Marie-José Godby wrote a play in lockdown and called it Zoom. They filmed it over Zoom and sent it to us. And the play is about an amateur theatre club who cast a play just before lockdown, and they decide to rehearse it over Zoom. Last week we heard the first instalment, so here's part two. Adieu, John. That's part two of Zoom, a play by Tess Townsend and Marie-José Godby. Part three will be next week. Have you been recording plays or writing poetry or performing comedy? If you have, record it, send it to us at bbc.co.uk/upload, and we might be able to play it on the radio. I need to say goodbye and thank my brilliant guests, Caroline Sullivan. Loved Caroline, Jessica and Rosie from Sober Powers, loved them. And most of all, I loved my Ellie Ashley Lynch. What a sweetheart. Thank you for joining me tonight. I had a really fun time. I hope you did too. We're back next week, 8 to 10 on BBC Radio Sussex and BBC Radio Surrey, live and local. Have a fabulous week and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.